This week was a busy week here around Sioux Falls, especially this weekend. If you don't have a kid who is a senior, you may not be aware, it was prom weekend. So whether it was Washington or Roosevelt or Lincoln, everybody had their prom this weekend. And when I think about the prom, actually this weekend, my son Brad, who's a senior at Washington, he went to the prom. So like we're really involved in this whole prom thing. You know how much a prom costs? National averages. West Coast, $1,125. Midwest is the least expensive at $835. So those of you that have little kids that are yet to become prom goers, you might want to open up a 401k or something just for that purpose alone. Man, expensive. Now, you know, when people go to the prom, you know, especially the girls, you know, they don't want to get a dress that looks like somebody else's dress. You know, the worst thing that could happen is you both show up to the prom with the same dress. So some people, you know, try to really be different and unique. I have no idea what this couple is trying to pull off here. No clue. Weirdest looking thing ever. You know, when you go to the prom, and especially, you know, if maybe a guy hasn't quite hit that stride in his puberty yet, he might not have hit his growth spurt. And girls are always concerned whether I'm with someone too tall. You know, they're careful about their shoes. I don't want to be taller than the person I'm with. I usually say that doesn't matter. But sometimes, I don't know. Is that kid like 8? Strange. But going to the prom, you never want to go alone. Okay, you got to have a date when you go to the prom. If you don't have a date, girls can go with their girlfriends. Guys can go with their guy friends. Big groups go to the prom together. But you never want to go alone. And though this guy might look like he went to the prom alone, if you look closely, what does he have with him? His Xbox. That's right. See, that's his prom date. Really great. We all met at the park with Brad and his date and all these other kids, and we do these group pictures together. And it's kind of cool, you know, you get to take pictures of your kids and then the group together. And then there's always that time when as parents, you want to get in on the picture with your kid and you do those pictures. I've got pictures of those. This is my favorite prom photo ever of parent-child, you know, just pre-prom photo, dad and his daughter. She looks so excited that her dad wanted to take his picture with her. Title of our message today is our desire, our need to be a blessing. And we've been talking about our this idea of thriving and our heart's desires to thrive and our relationships with God, our relationships with others, and honestly within ourselves as well. And today, this discussion of blessing is a very, very important one for us. Now, when I talk about blessing, what's the most popular passage of Scripture that speaks on blessing? Any ideas? There's that one. The Beatitudes, yeah. The Beatitudes, which is Jesus' sermon on the Mount, that's right. And he started it off with these blessing things. Blessed are the what? Poor in spirit. How it started. And he goes through all these blessings. And people have been kind of confused about what all these mean. Like, how, if you're poor in spirit, can you be blessed? Well, little did I know, but I discovered that 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was given the Beatitudes, there was someone there with a video camera. And they videoed the Beatitudes as they were taking place. And I thought it was just so interesting to me, I thought I would show it to you this morning. So this is the Beatitudes.
Blessed are those of gentle spirit. They shall have the earth for their possession. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst to see right prevail. They shall be satisfied.
Picking my nose, it was scratching.
You were picking it while he was talking to that lady.
I wasn't.
Leave it
no idea what he's saying, Big Nose.
Don't you call my husband Big Nose.
Well, I have got a big nose. Could you be quiet, please? What was that? I don't know. I was too busy calling a big nose. I think it was blessed on the cheesemakers.
What's so special about the cheesemakers?
Well, obviously, it's not meant to be taken literally. It refers to any manufacturer's dairy products. See, if you haven't been going on with the work, that big nose. Hey, say that once more, I'll smash your bloody face in. Better keep listening. Might be a bit about blessed are the big noses.
Well, lay off him.
Hear that? Blessed are the big, big green. Well, apparently, he's going to inherit the earth. Did anyone catch his name?
Yeah, I'll thump anybody.
Oh, thump him if he calls me big nose again. Oh, shut up, big nose.
Oh, what? I warned you.
Oh, really, we'll slug you.
Oh, it's the meek. Blessed are the meek. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? I'm glad they're getting something.
Listen, I'm only telling the truth. You have got a very big nose.
You didn't know that existed, did you? Last week we talked about our need to be affirmed. To be affirmed is to have someone approve of what you do. But today I want to talk about a blessing. And to be blessed is for someone not just to approve of what you do, but approve of who you are. And there's a big difference between those two. And we all have this innate desire to be blessed. Affirmations come from what we do, the way that we behave, the integrity of our character. But a blessing is something that can't be earned. It's not something that you can do something in order to receive. It's not something that you get by what you do or a way that you perform. A blessing is a gift, and it's a gift from one person to another. Now, when we first probably experienced blessing, it generally comes from our parents or our grandparents or those that in our family that loved us and cared about us when we were very, very little. We experience blessing from these kinds of people. Now, I have children. I've got three kids. And there is nothing that my children could do that would remove the love that I have for them. And that may not be the same for you towards my kids, but as a parent, there is nothing that they can do that would remove the love that I have for them. They could hurt me. They could hurt other people. And though I will agree that would bring me deep sorrow, I would still love them because I believe in them. I believe that there is goodness in my children, even though sometimes the evidence may be contrary to that idea. I know that my kids are special. They're mine. And they are blessed. You see, it's the bestowing of that blessing upon their lives from me, their father. And they can't earn it. It's something that I give to them, and it's something they can never lose. Now, the true meaning of blessing is a little bit lost in our culture. We throw the word blessing around pretty easily. We say, you know, pull up at the gas station and, you know, maybe you do your gas saver card from Hy-Vee and all of a sudden, you know, you save 40 cents per gallon. You go, I'm blessed, you know. Okay, maybe. You know, you pull up to the mall and there's a parking spot right up front, you know. Oh, I'm blessed, you know, I got this parking spot, you know, right up front. Or somebody sneezes and we say, bless you. And we don't even know what we're saying when we say that, but we just say that. What does blessing mean? If you had to define it, if someone came to you and said, what does blessing mean? What does it mean to be blessed? Or what is it to be a blessing? Or what is a blessing? How would you define it? Throw some stuff out. Getting something you don't deserve. Okay? Blessing. Other ideas?
An unexpected gift.
Okay, an unexpected gift. Be a blessing, certainly. Other ideas? Blessing. What is a blessing? What was that?
Favor?
Sure. Is that it? Awesome. We'll see you all next week. When you define blessing, it can be a little elusive. Kind of like trying to herd cats. It's hard sometimes to get our idea around what this idea of blessing is. Now, let's look just dictionary. If you go to dictionary.com, they're going to define blessing this way. A special favor, mercy, or benefit. Okay, would you agree? Blessing? It's good. Number two, I really like. A favor or a gift bestowed by God, thereby bringing happiness. This is a very important part of a blessing definition biblically. Because the best way to determine what a word means in the Bible is to let the Bible define the word by the way that it's used in the situations and the events in which the word is described or illustrated or put amongst other words. So we let the Bible define what the word blessing means, and I think it comes very close to this kind of a definition in the big picture. Now, the word blessing itself comes up about 600 times throughout the Bible. That's a lot of times for the word bless or blessing or this idea of being blessed comes together. And when we look at the word blessing, we see it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament of the Bible. Now, the Old Testament was not written in English. It's translated from a language into English, into our current translations. Who knows what language the Old Testament was written in? Hebrew. And it's an ancient form of Hebrew, similarly to like how we have Old English. If you ever tried to read Shakespeare, some people read Shakespeare and they can read it like any other English. I mean, you can read the words, no problem. When I read Shakespeare, I don't know what the guy's talking about. I didn't do well in English, so be it. It's Old English. There's words we don't use, or the way that the sentence structure is. The vocabulary is just different. That's how it is in that Hebrew versus what maybe a Jewish people would speak today. It'd be hard to understand in some ways. But we try to translate the words in that language into current English words. Now, one of the words used for blessing in the Old Testament is this word. Barak. Now, when I say Barak, at least over about the last six, almost 7 years, what do you think of? Who? The president. Yeah, our 44th president, Barack Hussein Obama. Now, if you do look at his name, Barak does mean blessing. It's an African form of the word blessing, but it derives from this old Hebrew word of blessing. Hussein, anyone know what Hussein means? Good looking. Good looking. Handsome. And then Obama means bendable or flexible or adjusting in some way. So blessing, Barak, is this word blessing. And when you want to define it, again, the way that the Bible seems to define it in the way that Barak is used throughout the Old Testament, it's praise, congratulations, happiness through bestowing, through the giving, through this, passing from one to another, okay? This goodness, this happiness, a praise or congratulations. The first time we really see this used, God uses it in the time of creation. So as he's creating the world and everything in it, he uses this word, Barak. So in Genesis 1:22, when we're talking about the creation of the animals, it says, "Then God blessed them, Barak them, saying, 'Be fruitful, multiply, let the fish fill the seas, and let the birds multiply the earth.'" Then later in Genesis 1:28, after the creation of man, God also says, "And God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, all the animals that scurry along the ground.'" So from the birds in the air to humanity itself, God blessed it. Now, what is he blessing here? There's this bestowing of life, and with it, there's a purpose for life. And in that purpose of life, there's this procreation. There's this continuation of life that's available. This is the blessing of God on his creation. He blessed it. Now, God doesn't just bless all of creation, but he blesses specific individual people. And we see this throughout the Old Testament as well, that he baraks different people. One person in particular, probably one of the more famous blessings, is the blessing of a man named Abram, who later his name was changed to Abraham. And when he blessed Abram, The blessing that he gave is special, not just because it's just to Abram, but it also is what we would call a perpetual blessing, that it's a blessing that's going to continue on, because God blesses Abram, and then through his blessing of Abram, he says, through you, I'm going to bless others. And that's where this kind of personal thing, that as God blesses us, we are to bless other people. And that our blessing today is a result of that original blessing to Abram. You'll find it in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 through 3. So he says, I will make you into a great nation. This is the blessing. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth, that's you and I, will be blessed through you, through Abram. Through Abram, the lineage on down comes all the way to Jesus. One of the greatest blessings God has ever given us through the person of Jesus. Now, these are blessings that come from God, but also in the Old Testament, we see where blessings come from person to person. If you remember, there was a gal in the book of Genesis, her name was Rebecca. And Rebecca married a man named Isaac, who was one of the lineage of Abraham. And when she was getting ready to leave, her parents blessed her, her family. And so this was the blessing. They gave her this blessing as she parted. Our sister, you may become the mother of many millions. May your descendants be strong and conquer the cities of their enemies. So she's blessed by other people, so we can bless each other. But interestingly enough, this also reminds me of the story of Isaac and his blessing of his sons. Now, Isaac had a couple of sons. What were their names? Jacob and Esau. Now, we always say Jacob's name first, but we shouldn't. We shouldn't, because who was the oldest? Esau. It should be Esau and Jacob. But that's the tension of their story, isn't it? You see, Esau was kind of like Bear Grylls. You know who he is? Okay, this is like a mountain man, okay? This guy, he hunts, he fishes, he goes and he kills, he cooks it, he brings it home. Probably everything was on a spit, everything roasted, you know? This is how Esau was. Hairy dude, big dude, smelled like he spent a lot of time outside. This is Esau, okay? Then you have his brother, Jacob. Jacob is, he's a mama's boy. He loved his mommy. Mommy loved him. They had a close bond with one another, all right? Now, when Isaac gets really old, it's time for him to bestow a blessing upon his children. Now, the special blessing that we continue to see in the Old Testament tends to fall on the eldest child, which is who? Esau. Well, Jacob and his mom kind of figure out what's happening here, and they decide that they're going to kind of pull a fast one on old Isaac, because the dude's laying in bed, has no eyesight left. I mean, he's an old guy. And they decide they're going to trick him. So while Esau's out in the field, they dress up Jacob like his brother Esau. They put hair on him and put a stinky clothes on him. And even mom made this special meal that apparently, you know, Esau always made for dad. And they come in and dad says, is that you, Esau? And Jacob's like, yep, it's me. And he probably was like, duh, yeah, it's me, Esau. Trying to like sound like him. And then there's a little testing back and forth, and they fool old Isaac. And the blessing that was intended for Esau is given to Jacob. And the fascinating thing is this, that even though the blessing was intended for Esau, because it was given to Jacob, it stays with Jacob. You would think that as the giver of the blessing, you could say, hey, I was duped, you know, I kind of revoked that and it goes to this person. When you are blessed, you are blessed. And it can't ever be taken, revoked, changed, or moved. Even under a situation like this, where there was some deception to it, the blessing still remained with Jacob. Now listen to this blessing. Man, you can see why they wanted this blessing, why Jacob wanted it. Genesis 27, verses 28 and 29. This is the words of the blessing. From the dew of heaven and the richnesses of earth, may God always give you abundant harvest of grain and bountiful new wine. Awesome. May many nations become your servants, and may they bow down to you. And may you be the master over your brothers. And may your mother's sons bow down to you. All who curse you will be cursed, and all who bless you will be blessed. Jacob receives the Barak. Then there's another word in the Old Testament, one other one that we translate as blessing. But not only blessing, but sometimes it'll be translated as happiness or as joy. Now, a lot of people get confused why there are so many different English Bible translations. And the simple answer to it is that it's everybody's attempt to try and take a certain language and find the English equivalents of those words. And some people do a word-for-word translation. Those are tough translations to read because they don't flow very well, but they're pretty accurate word-for-word. Others try to go for a thought-for-thought. So they try and take the thought that was here and make an English sentence kind of going with it, but the words themselves aren't exact. And then you have a paraphrase, which is pretty much just a overall idea, and then we have the overall idea in English. They read really easily, but it's not a perfect word-for-word translation. The closer you get to accuracy, the harder it is to read and understand. The more you move this way, the less it's literal, but you still get the basic idea. When this happens, you'll find words like this next word, Eshur, which is another word that means blessing, and if you define it in Scripture, it means happiness. You'll see it defined sometimes in English as happiness or as joy. Take, for example, Job chapter 5, verse 17. I'm going to show it to you in the New Living Translation and in the NIV translation because they translate the word differently. In the New Living Translation, they translate this word Eshur as joy, but in the NIV, it's translated as blessed. So, but consider the joy, the Eshur, of those corrected by God. I don't know if you find joy when you're corrected by God. But in Job 17, it says, blessed is the man who God corrects. And it's this idea that you should, there should be some joy in your heart when God corrects you, because it means he at least is paying attention to you, that he gives a rip, that he really wants you to do well. And so there should be joy in your heart when God even corrects you, because it's the realization that he notices you, he sees you, he loves you, he cares about you. Kind of like a father that disciplines their children. I know our children don't always say, thank you for loving me that way today. But it is. It's an expression of love. I care enough to discipline, to correct you. And so that's what's happening here. Just like the Old Testament, the New Testament also has a couple of words that are translated as blessed. One is this word, Makarios. Now, Makarios is a word that is very similar to Eshur, that it also means happiness. A couple of places where we see this would be in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. When it's blessed are the, or blessed is the, that word blessed is this word Makarios, which means happiness or happy is. So you could really replace the blesseds with happy and get an understanding. And that might help you understand the Beatitudes a little bit more. But we'll read them here. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Verse 6. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. And God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my fathers. You're my followers. Verse 12, be happy about it. Be very glad, for great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So that's this idea. There's a happiness that should come as a result of this relationship with God, and he blesses us as a result. Now, the second word in the New Testament, the Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, that we translate as blessed, is this one here. It's eulogio. Now, when I say eulogio, do you hear an English word that sounds a little bit like that? Eulogy. Very good. What is a eulogy? Wait, I heard it over here. Exactly. Perfect. It's things you say about a dead person, but it's not just things, it's good things. Okay, that's key. If you're ever asked to give a eulogy, realize that's the definition. Okay, good things. If you can't, just pass. Okay, but it's good things you say about someone who's passed on. Now, this word, eulogio, is the exact same thing, but it doesn't have to just be towards people that are dead. It's any good word that you can say about something. So this word, again, can be translated different ways. You might see it as good, but it's also blessed. You'll see it translated as blessed. A great example of this is going to be Jesus himself when he's at the Last Supper. And he's got his disciples around him, and he takes the bread, and the scriptures say he takes the bread, he breaks it, and he blessed it. He euglio. He said a good thing about it. When you bless your food, when you pray for your food, that blessing is this word. And so you're saying something good about your food. I mean, that may be easier for some of you than others, depending on who made it or what it might be. I have never said a good word about broccoli, ever. I don't know why that's a food item. But nonetheless, I don't know why I went on that tangent, but it's this saying something good about it. Jesus here, Matthew 26:26, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it, and he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat it, for this is my body. So that's this word of saying something good about it. Now, this is a word we see a lot of times in the New Testament. For example, when we bless God, it's this word. See, I can't really bestow something on God that he doesn't already have, but my blessing to God is my saying a good word about him. Ephesians 1:3 says, all praise, that's all blessing, all euglio, to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. See, notice how the word praise and the word blessed are the exact same Greek word, but just translated in different English words so we get a better understanding of it. Because if we just use all, you know, blessings to God, the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us, you might not catch it. So they tell you praise. It's this thing I can do. It's this goodness, this good thing towards God. When we worship together, it's a blessing. We bless God in our worship. It's a good thing that we do towards him. And then goes on to say that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. I'm also really challenged when I read the New Testament and it tells me to bless my enemies. To bless your enemies doesn't mean bake them a cake. It means say something good. Wish them good. Think goodness. Be goodness towards them. 1 Peter 3:9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Euglio, this good word, this eulogy to them. That's what God has called you to do, and he will euglio you. Something good towards you as a result of you being good towards your enemies. Blessing. If we try to wrap all of this up, what is blessing? It's God to us. It's us to others. It's us to God. It's God to us through to others. And it's not earned. It's a gift. And every one of us has a heart set desire to be blessed. When you take the work of a therapist or a counselor, there's been a few studies where they've tried to get to the basic human condition of people that are struggling, suffering, hurting, having a difficult time. And when they take counselors and therapists, and they reduce their work down to a person and kind of take off the peripheral issues and get down to the very core of what every person needs. They come down to this idea of being accepted, that every one of us just have a desire to be accepted. And when we're not accepted, this other stuff builds around us. We each have this innate desire within our own hearts to be accepted, and to be accepted is to be blessed, to be loved, and for us not to be able to lose it. Isn't that the greatest fear? That we're going to lose this connection that we have together? We're going to lose with each other? I mean, the blessings that we have shouldn't be able to be lost. And sad to say, some of the places where they should be the strongest, they're not, in marital relationships. We should be able to bless each other and never be able to lose that blessing, that sense of being accepted for who we are. I mean, certainly I can be blessed to know you, and you can be blessed to know me if we treat each other with that goodness of blessing. But I also can be blessed in suffering, and you can be blessed in your suffering. Suffering can be a blessing in your life when you understand what blessings really are. Because blessings can bring out the goodness and the love that is God's blessing upon you. And do you know that you can even be happy in your suffering when you're blessed? Not happy like I go to the circus and I'm happy. Happy in the aspect that in the midst of my suffering, I have joy, I have blessing, I have happiness. When my friends and my family come around me to support me and give me encouragement and sustain me in the midst of my suffering, in the midst of my tears, when you come near to me and you love me, I am happy. I'm not joyous on the outside, but I am happy to have friends. I'm happy that there's someone there. I have a joy. There's a blessing that happens when you come in the midst of someone's pain and you're present. And that no matter what their pain is, self-induced or otherwise, that your presence still remains and there's not a judgment to it. That it's a blessing that's there regardless of what the person has done. It's a blessing that's there regardless of where you've been, or what you've done, or what you've said. And we have the power to give that blessing to others. The blessing that we so desperately need, we have the power to give to others, and I don't know why it is that we sometimes reserve that or hold it back or don't give the blessing to another person that we so desperately need from them. And what might the world be like? What might your life or my life be like if we just blessed freely? If we stopped judging and just loved people where they were at, to bless someone because they're worthy of blessing. We're blessed when we allow the love of God to be real in our lives. We are blessed when we believe the promises of God's love and His compassion. We are blessed when we trust in God's protection and His promise that He will never leave us. We are blessed when we take the risk and bless someone else. You, my friends, are blessed. You may not feel blessed, but you are blessed. You don't even have to believe it for it to be true. And I know that for most of you, you think, I can't possibly be blessed. Pastor Doug, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. I want you to know that you are blessed, and not only are you blessed, but God is crazy about you. And God is crazy about you, even though you've been the places you've been, and you've done the things you've done. He still loves you. And He's nuts about you. And the reason? The reason is because He loves you. Do you know that God has nothing but good things to say about you? When he's in the company of others and your name comes up, which probably happens often, he has nothing but good things to say about you. Never an ill word. He's crazy about you because he made you. You're his masterpiece. He knit you together. All your parts and pieces from him. Personality. Everything. All of it. He made it in you. And not only did he create you and place you here, but he created a purpose for your life, and it's a purpose to do amazing things. That's why he's nuts about you. That's why he loves you so incredibly. And it's why you're blessed. And we can reject his blessing and say, I'm not worthy of it. Yes, you're right, so stop putting your arms up. You're not worthy of it. Neither am I. Doesn't change the fact that he loves you and that he blesses you. And that purpose that he has for your life is a purpose that he wants to reveal to you. And he does it every time we let go of the false blessings that the world has to offer. I mean, you know, I get a new TV and I feel blessed. And it's really temporary because when it breaks down, I don't feel nearly as blessed. Those are temporary. And they busy our minds sometimes. But when we can let go of the world's false blessings, the temporary things, and open ourselves up to what God's purpose is for us, he'll guide us into that purpose. And when we find that, when we take steps in that direction, of each day saying, Lord, what today? And as opportunities come, relationships develop, and he opens doors in our lives, we experience the goodness of God's blessing for us. You are already blessed. But I will ask you the question today, will you be blessed? You are blessed, but will you be blessed? So this is what we're going to do. I really struggled about the last 2 weeks, beginning of this week especially, on how to help us as a large group understand blessing and that we are blessed and that God has a blessing for us. One-on-one, it's a little easier. But in a big group, it's kind of difficult. I started calling some of my mentors and kind of telling them like what I'm thinking and different ideas. And finally, it kind of came to me midweek, end of the week this week, how we're going to do this idea of being blessed. I want to bless you. And I want to bless you in a very practical and very real way. And this may make some of you uncomfortable. Some of you are going to soak this up because you desperately need this blessing. This blessing that maybe you've rejected, or a blessing that you don't feel you deserve, but to finally open yourself up to it and say, I'm going to receive this blessing. So what I want to do is I want to give you a blessing. And the blessing I want to give you is not going to be my words, but it's going to be the words of Scripture. The words of Scripture over you of what God loves, feels, and thinks about you. It's going to be the Beatitudes out of Matthew chapter 5. But it's going to be out of the Message translation, which is more of a paraphrase. And Eugene Peterson, who did the Message translation, did a beautiful job with the Beatitudes. But you see, you can't just sit there to get your blessing. Because blessings don't come to those that just sit there and expect it to happen. Blessings come when we receive them. Just like Jacob. Now, Jacob was a little twisted in the way he did it, but how did he get his blessing from Isaac? And he forced his way to the front of the line, and he got that blessing. And this blessing is available to you, but you're going to have to receive it. So this is what I'm going to have you do. For those of you that would like to receive a blessing today, I'm going to ask that you would stand from your seats, and I'm going to invite you to come up front here. I realize not everybody will, and certainly if mobility is hard for you, just stay at your seat where you're at. But I'm going to encourage you to stand and to come up, to stand here, just face me, and then I'm going to read this blessing over you. And trust that if you need that today, that God will open that part in your heart and that you can really receive what he has for you today. So with that being said, I encourage you now, stand. just stay in your seat and just put your hand up and receive it that way too. God is completely nuts about every one of you. And he wants you to know how deep and how wide and how passionate his love is for you. And he wants to bless you, not just right here today in this moment, but he wants you to live a life that is truly blessed, to know that you are his child and that no matter what happens in your life, he has got you. The worst of your week, the worst scenario you can dream up, he's going to be there in the moment. He's going to be there in the midst of it, and he is there with you. And in your greatest joys, he's going to be right there next to you, celebrating with you. Because he is our God, our Father. And he tells us that if we can figure out how to give good things to our own kids, how much more can our Father in heaven bless us? You close your eyes for this blessing. Matthew chapter 5. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what's most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You are blessed when you're content with just who you are, and no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you've ever eaten. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you'll find yourself cared for. And you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. And then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. And that's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. And not only that, but count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you and discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. From this day forward, know that I love you, and you are blessed. Amen. I want you to know this, and I want you to live it. And as you go from this place with the blessing that you have received, bless someone else. Because there's a world out there driving by right now, desperately needing for someone to love them for who they are. The power is within you, the power of the Holy Spirit. As God has blessed you, bless others. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.